Mardi Gras season is fun.
Until you don't know where you're going, what's closed, or why traffic stopped moving.
Laissez-les bon temps rouler.
News Radio 92.3 helps you enjoy it without the guesswork.
Let the good times roll.
Local updates, traffic info, and what's happening around town when it matters most. Have fun out there. Woo-hoo! We've got all the details. News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620. Informative. Local. Dependable. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
CSL stands for Convention Sports and Leisure, and it's been around as long as I've been around with that company is about 30 years. And so we do projects all throughout the country. And one anecdote that I think is kind of interesting is one of my earliest projects in my career was a convention center feasibility study in Pensacola. And here we are 30 years later, and we're still looking for a solution.
I've only been here 12 years, and I feel the same way. This is one of those we never solve it problems. This is Bill Krueger. He's the vice president of CSL, which is the entity that was used to study the feasibility of the Bay Center redesign, reimagine, massive rebuild, whatever you want to call it, presenting to the county commission on Friday, a very, very long presentation. But yeah, we've been working on this or thinking about this for forever. And the basic problem you have it is that the Bay Center is one building that's old, that was not designed really well, and certainly not by today's standards, to do any of the things that it's currently being asked to do. But it is a good building. The bones, as they say, are in good shape, according to every source. And so the question is, instead of, you know, tearing down and building anew for $300 or $400 million, you know, what can we do that preserves the building and tries to make it into something that will actually do a lot of the things that we want it to do and do it even better? Now, Darren Schaefer, the head of Visit Pensacola, had spoken extensively about this and complained that essentially the project didn't come with the alternative for a convention center, which is the key need, because we can only handle conventions up to about 450 people. And above that, it's just impossible because of the space that's not available in the Pensacola area. And that limits us in our ability to bring people here and build the economy on, you know, 600 or 700 or 800 person or 1,000 person conventions. Sports is good. Ice is good. But convention center needs to be the number one key thing. And that was never really offered in this proposal. And he raised a bunch of other objections. We talked about that in the 5 o'clock hour. Now, Bill Krueger, he says, look, the problem with the building is, as I said, it's trying to do too many different things, especially ice. And one of the things in the new proposal is to create a second sheet of ice. Why?
You don't really have the ability to do tournaments. When you're looking at sheets of ice, this is the only game in town within 3 hours drive. And so usually, typically you'll need two sheets of ice at a minimum to be able to get into the tournament game, for hockey tournaments in particular.
And by the way, this would be a second separate building, not something adjacent exactly to the Bay Center. You can't use the current ice plant to do the second sheet of ice. You'd have to build a second ice rink, essentially. And I think I said earlier 300 miles, but he said 3 hours, and in any case, a long way away. And if we're going to do hockey tournaments, which are a real and that can generate income. Also, a second sheet of ice allows you to do things like the Bay Center can be used for one thing, and then the recreational skating, or the skating leagues, or the competitive ice skating, which we have a need for and is growing here in this area. They could have a place, dedicated place for them to practice. Also, if you don't have to have ice for practices in the Bay Center for the Ice Flyers, and you only need to have the Ice Flyers games use the Bay Center ice, they can practice on the second sheet, and you could fill up the Bay Center with other things that could be using that space that right now has to be used for practice time for the Ice Flyers. So those are some of the advantages of the $30 million proposal for an ice building.
In terms of the overall strategy, you've got the event center, you've got the practice sheet, you've got the improvements to the existing Bay Center. But the other piece, which isn't really being advertised right now, which is strategically important, if you want to penetrate into the convention game, as was alluded to by Mr. Schaefer, you need to have the ballroom, the carpeted, the upscale space that goes along with this. But most importantly, you need a hotel. And so as a part of our strategy, we'll talk about that, but we have a place with a direct physical connection to the event center, and then thereby to the Bay Center itself, of the hotel.
Okay, there's several different things that we're trying to accomplish here. In general, like if we could have everything we're trying to do, here's what we're trying. Number one, renovating the Bay Center, which means changing it so that it's not basically all just general admission, but that it is a variety of price points because people are eager to pay more to go to nicer facilities, boxes and rooms and things like this. Okay. And we don't really have that capacity now. Taking advantage of that, expanding the seating capacity by a couple thousand from in the 6,000 vicinity to in the 8,000 vicinity, or maybe even more. That's a key advantage because a lot of concerts don't come here because the venue's just not large enough. We're also trying to stay competitive with Mobile that is putting $300+ million into their new facility. And that's what it would cost to tear down and start over if you did the Bay Center from scratch. But again, we don't need to do that. You also would like to renovate, or they propose renovating the exterior so that it looks more modern and that there's a digital signboard wrapping around the entirety of it at the top level so that it would be an advertising venue that might raise between $500,000 and $1 million a year in just advertising revenue for naming rights. So that's one thing. Renovating the Bay Center is one aspect of this issue. The second thing that they want to do is they want to create an event space, a 55,000, I think it is, 1,000 square foot event space. And where they want to put that is right behind the Bay Center in what is currently the parking lot on the backside toward 9th Avenue. Basically, there's the room where there's the wraparound for I-110, you know, the kind of the dip there, and you walk over that on the walkway back to the parking lot. They want to basically take all that space, about half of it really, between there and 9th Avenue, and turn it into this event center. That's $71 million for the Bay Center renovations, $85 million for the event center. That would allow you to do indoor sports. That would allow you to do sports tournaments. That would be volleyball, basketball, all kinds of things that are revenue generating, plus events, Pensacon, expos, trade shows, everything in the event center that you would think an event center can do. It wouldn't allow you to do conventions, because for a convention, what you need is that ballroom. That is the key thing, as he says, as Darren Schaefer says, everybody's agreed that in order to make bigger conventions, you absolutely have to have a ballroom. And that's the problem we're trying to solve at the moment that was not actually in the proposal. I'll get to that in a second. PJ has traffic on the fives.
We've had reports of a traffic light being out Highway 29 at Roberts Road. That is a four-way stop until that's fixed. Highway 29 seeing some southbound, seeing some congestion as a result. Also, U.S. 98 and Gulf Breeze seeing some minor congestion between Shoreline Drive and Fairpoint. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Okay, so keep this in mind. So concerts and performances, okay? Athletic tournaments like the Sunbelt Conference for the Bay Center. Renovations in the Bay Center, which will change the availability of different price levels, which is profit, but also it's what the market demands. Naming rights on the outside and a general upgrade of the facility, everything from the loading dock to the stage and everything else. Okay, that's all part of this. That's part one. Part two is making it possible to do athletic tournaments. You're going to need a space for that and expos and whatnot, and that's the event center. You can't just add an event center and think you're going to get conventions, because conventions need a ballroom and, frankly, they need a hotel adjacent. Because the convention people fly in. They don't drive around town. They're not driving in from, typically, they fly in. They need a place to sleep, and they need a place to have their big meals, their keynote speeches and their awards and all of that. That's not going to happen at the event center. It doesn't work that way. So you need a hotel. Also, the ICE facility helps to, again, defray the use by the ICE flyers, but also give us the opportunity to appeal to sports tourism for ICE and also appeal to the lots of local opportunities for figure skating and everything else that really is a big demand right now. So the hotel, and here's where things get a little bit difficult, I think, but are important, is the hotel is not part of the plan in the sense that they're not going to build a hotel. But they do believe that they can get a hotel from a top-tier hotel investor, a private entity that is going to come in and is going to take some public money, some public subsidy, but is going to make it so that the whole thing works together. Because then if you co-manage all of these things as a unit instead of each being separate, you can appeal to all of the different goals if it's functioning as a single entity, basically, even though it's not all going to be owned by the county.
And frankly, it's one of those things that kind of flies underneath the radar, because there is some opposition from local hoteliers about public assistance to kind of execute a project. But I can't emphasize enough how critical it is to have the right type of headquarters hotel to support this. And in that way, you can leverage what their in-house meeting space that they have already, that they're already going to build anyways.
If they're going to build a hotel on the property, so going from west to east, you'd have the parking lot, you know, that is under 110, and the other parking lots, but, you know, the parking lot that's east of Alcony is there. And then you have the Bay Center, and then you have the Event Center. And behind the Event Center, you have the ice rink to the northeast on the corner of 9th and Gregory. And on the southeast, you have a hotel on this property that's going to be built by private, but we'll have a ballroom, we'll have rooms, we'll be all adjacent through walkways. That's the goal, because that would solve every problem involved. The problem right now is that the biggest event space is the Hilton at the Beach, but it's got a small ballroom, 6,800 square feet, that limits everything else because you need one place where everybody can get together for their banquet, for their keynote, for their whatever things that they need everybody together in one space for, and you cannot do that in the Event Center. It just, nobody wants to do it in the Event Center, just like nobody really wants to do that in the Bay Center. It does function in that way for things like coronation, but it's at best third rate for those kinds of things. The sound system is terrible for it. The stage, everything about it is just not what these conventions want. So this would all work. I was sold. I mean, the money's its own question. I was sold to this point, but there are questions that are unanswered. Ashley Hoffberger.
And then I'm assuming you're going to address parking at some point in the presentation.
You think?
There is obviously.
Since we're losing the parking lot. I mean, if the parking lot goes away and you're increasing use of the facility, well, those two things are fighting each other, right?
There is obviously an impact. You're losing 460 spots on the east side of the site. That leaves us with 889 spots available that are currently used for the arena on some of the gravel lots and some spaces to the east.
And so there's 1,400 now, and we're going to lose a third of those in getting rid of the parking lot. That's a problem, right? That's definitely a problem.
We did an analysis of downtown. Within a 15-minute walking radius, there are approximately 3,500 spots as well. So there'd be some community absorption of that. And you'd be within walking distance 15 minutes to do that. But, you know, we've talked about potential future developments that may be happening or other sites that maybe structured parking would be potentially viable as well.
Yeah, structured parking is going to be major expensive. That's $30,000 a space. So if you put 1,000 spaces in, which is about what you need to make up for total to get it up to around, you know, 2,000 or so in the end, that's going to be $30 million, $40 million. And where are you going to put it? That's its own problem. Nobody's going to walk 15 minutes. I don't think that's reasonable to think they're going to walk 15 minutes to go to a tournament. I mean, maybe they would if they have to, but that's a big disadvantage if you don't have parking right there on site close by.
Okay, so this plan has no increased parking. It actually has reduced parking?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. We think that we probably need about 1,000 additional spaces, right? I think that's how we model it. What we would recommend is that there's got to be further evaluation of that, whether that's structured parking or if there's adjacent property that can be acquired. But there's probably between 800 and 1,000 spaces that would be required to support the activity.
So their plan is to bring a hotel but not build one themselves. I trust them when they say that's something they can do. They do not have a plan yet for parking, either location or cost. That's a big problem.
I think we would probably want to see a parking plan before we move forward, because I can imagine the hate mail we're going to get about the amount of money we're investing, but nobody has the ability to access it because they can't park.
Yeah, I mean, that's a major concern. The cost of tearing out the wraparound circle for 110 is also an issue. You know, these are all questions or open problems. Lumen May?
Does keep us in the competitive market against Mobile, in your opinion?
Well, let me say it this way. Mobile's not going away. they're going to build that building, and if you don't do something, you will be left behind. Okay. Now, we're going to be realistic. We're dealing with a 40-plus-year-old Bay Center. They're building a new arena, but what you will have is the same, actually a little bit larger seating capacity for your concerts than they will have. So you will be equal in terms of the gross revenue potential that the promoters would want to generate for their artists just by adding those 1,800 seats to that stage pocket.
Yeah.
So from that perspective, yes.
So those are good things. And if we do not compete or stay competitive with Mobile, we will lose even more market share to them. But this, to me, aside from the cost of the parking and the not solved for the parking, aside from some of the unknowns and getting the hotel here, it all made sense to me. But this was the one comment that concerned me the most, because right now the Bay Center loses money. And look, public facilities often lose money. You know, we think they're worthwhile. Having a library doesn't make you money. Having a park doesn't make you money. You know, so, right, it costs us money to maintain these things. You know, a beach costs us money. Bee-tree nourishment, cleaning it up, okay? But we think it's worth having. But the question is, will this thing actually make us money?
Doug, with the financial model that you presented, would our subsidies stay about the same or be reduced in terms of?
We're projecting that that subsidy would go away.
Wow.
Yes.
So if we made this investment, you think long-term we would not have to?
I believe that's the case. That's the idea. We want to get away from the subsidy. Now let's separate the OPEX from the CAPEX. You would have debt service, obviously, that you would have to incur by revenue bonds being, you know, that's separate from operational. But the operational side of it, we believe that we can, and I'm going to look at Michael here for a minute, but I believe he's going to have to operate it. But I believe we can turn that deficit, that subsidy, into something that's even, it's break even or better, as we saw in those projections.
The level of uncertainty about not being able to make a profit in this facility after we sink $140 million or more into it concerns me. Because I think that if we're going to pay for a $140 million bond, one way or another, and some of that's already been taken care of, I get it. But, you know, that's the rough cost vicinity. The thing damn well better make money, you know, on its own, let alone the economic benefit of to the hotels and the restaurants and, you know, the travel and all of that kind of stuff. So that did concern me. Because if we put all this money in and it still doesn't even make money, maybe loses money. Well, that's, I mean, unacceptable to me. So here's the question, bare bones. If you do the math, if it's going to cost in the vicinity of $150, $60 million total, and you've got 330,000 people in this community, in Escambia County, only not counting Santa Rosa, that's $500 a person. Now, they're not going to tax you $500. But just to think about what we're thinking about spending and what we're getting, would it be worth to you $500 to acquire this thing, to create all the benefits that it will create, and to have all the events that it will bring, and to keep us competitive with Mobile and other places? And the commissioners did not make a decision. I think there are a lot of questions to be answered, including what the city learns in its study, which is going to come back next month. I think next month, maybe March, I forget. There's a lot of questions to be answered, but that's where we're at. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
I-10 and 110 are both looking good right now. No delays in Oliver Burgess. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Have you ever gotten stuck being the one who has to figure out the food?
Yeah.
Birthday party, office lunch, family get-together, and suddenly everybody's looking at you.
Me?
That's when you call Voodoo Barbecue. Whether it's catering for 5 people or 500, they make it easy. They show up, the food's hot, and it smells incredible. And nobody's asking where the plates are. Slow smoked barbecue, big portions, real flavor. The kind where folks go back for seconds and ask,
where'd this come from?
That's Voodoo Barbecue Catering. Go to catering at voodoobbq.com and get your mm-mms ready.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
Excuses are destroying your success. Luke 14 records the devastating effects of being an excuse maker. One man said that he couldn't attend the Master's Supper because he had to prove oxen, while another said he had purchased land that he must go see. Yet a third man had just married a wife and therefore he couldn't attend. Their excuses were cloaked in half-truths, nonsense, and self-will. As a result, the Master invited the poor, halt, lame, and blind to his dinner. The self-willed people rejected the supper, but the desperate-hearted people received the supper. In the seats of the original invitees sat poor, halt, lame, and blind. If excuse makers don't want to enjoy the benefits that God provides, someone else will. You can choose your excuses, but you don't get to choose the consequences. So beware of being an excuse maker.
For more Strength for Life, check out our website at strengthforlife.church.
Did you know? Florida West Economic Development Alliance partners with local and state stakeholders to compete for companies that are considering Escambia County, the city of Pensacola, and the town of Century. These jobs, wages, and investment deliver real returns for our residents. These outcomes strengthen Escambia County's economy and protect taxpayer interests through disciplined, results-driven economic development. Learn more at FloridaWestEDA.com.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WER-TV, and the News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Too late. Had your chance. Muffed it. Good morning.
A couple of texts we're getting in here. Somebody says on the Bay Center proposal, it doesn't matter how you slice it or what idea you come up with, the current property is too small for a convention center. period, because once you take the space out for the Bay Center and the Convention Center and a hotel, you know, because we don't know what's going to happen with the Grand Hotel at all. Not that that would even be adequate as is without, you know, the big ballroom, I guess, that they're talking about. So, I understand. You know, the Tech Park is available land, but we can't use it for that. We'd have to pay to get it back from the burdens that have been put upon it. Somebody says parking at the Bay Center. Yep, that's exactly right. That's a big question. Somebody says park at Wahoo's Stadium. They run a free trolley from Wahoo Bay Center back and forth, picking up people and dropping them off. They talked a little bit about that. Other locations, including, you know, like the mall, for example. But, I mean, it's a bit of a lift. And remember, the Community Maritime Park is going to be developed, too. So there's going to be demands on the space there, the parking. That's also an issue, is that stuff is not going to be what it looks like now in 5 years. 4, 3, 7, 16, 20 somebody else says, we always use Mobile as an expense to spend, as an excuse to spend. Yeah, fair enough. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. Meta apparently wants to see if we're so hooked on social media, we'll pay for it. They tell TechCrunch that they are testing a new optional subscription model for Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp. They say in the future, subscriptions may unlock extra features like AI tools. President Trump headed to Iowa today. The White House says he'll be speaking in Clive. That's one of the suburbs in the Des Moines area. His speech will reportedly be focusing on affordability and energy.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. We'll talk to Sheriff Simmons coming up next. Somebody says, you know, if you run it out over several years, as somebody who's been using the Bay Center for 40 years, $500 to buy the thing doesn't seem that bad if it's over 20 years, $25 a year to have the facility. Yeah, that's another way to look at it, for sure.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President Trump deploys his border czar to lead ICE enforcement efforts in Minnesota.
Tom Holman is now going to be the main point of contact on the ground and will report directly to the president. Border Patrol Commander Gregory Pavino had been acting as a lead here, now returning to be sector chief in El Centro, California, and other Border Patrol agents are leaving Minnesota as well. Tom Holman will be calling the shots.
Fox's Matt Finn in Minneapolis. DHS reviewing officers' body cam footage from the deadly ICE-involved shooting of Alex Priddy. The massive winter storm leaves parts of Nashville looking like they're in an ice age, people just trying to stay warm.
Been doing layers, periodically coming out, sitting in the car with the heated seats.
More than 171,000 people without power in Tennessee. That from PowerOutage.us. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, and right now we've got a cold start to our day, clear skies, and it is 22 degrees here across the area. We're going to get to our forecast. Brooke Richardson's got that in just a few minutes. But first, our headlines today. An Alabama Department of Corrections employee has been arrested at the Fountain Prison in Atmore. A canine apparently alerting to narcotics in Dominica Grace's vehicle. Contraband was found on her person. She's charged with promoting prison contraband. She's since resigned from her job at that prison. Escambia County wants the state to help make Pensacola Beach safer and more accessible. Commissioners unanimously approved applying for an FDOT grant to design and build improvements along the shared use path on Fort Pickens Road and Via de Luna Drive. Now, advocates for people with disabilities say the upgrades are long overdue.
It's always wonderful to have positive growth and inclusion come from within the community and be part of that. So thank you so much for the work that's being done on that project.
That is Carolyn Grawley with the Center for Independent Living. The project would focus on ADA-compliant upgrades and safety improvements for pedestrians and cyclists that use that beach path. Escambia County's unemployment rate is slowly decreasing, but apparently still just a bit higher than the state average. The county's rate dropped to 5.2% in December from 5.6% in November. That is up significantly from 3.4% a year ago. Economist Rick Harper says job growth in the Escambia-Santa Rosa area is about zero right now. More than 7,600 people in the area were looking for work as of last month. Harper says hiring does typically slow this time of year, though, January and February, but should pick back up by March and April. The statewide unemployment rate is at about 4.3%. Now, Florida's rural and Family Lands Protection Program has received a record number of applications. More than 500 landowners applying to permanently preserve over 600,000 acres of ag land from development. That is a 90% increase since 2023. The program helps farmers and ranchers protect working lands for future generations. Winter storm conditions crippling a whole lot of the nation right now. Chris Bryan with this story. He says a lot of statewide cities are sending aid and assistance.
Numerous Florida cities have sent crews to help with power outages as winter storm Fern continues to spread across the nation. The Florida Municipal Electric Association, now that's the state's mutual aid coordinator, confirmed 185 workers from Florida Public Power Utilities are in Georgia and South Carolina to assist crews with power restoration efforts. The storm has affected over 220 million people across the U.S. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. Well, Florida Democrats pushing back against Governor DeSantis's praise of cooperation with federal immigration agents. This, of course, in the wake of that controversial shooting by ICE agents in Minneapolis over the weekend. House Democrat leader Fentrese Driscoll says no single agency should have unchecked power when it comes to law enforcement actions and deadly force.
This is not what people signed up for. Even people who wanted to be, quote unquote, tough on immigration did not sign up to see Americans gunned down in the street.
Driscoll says that Florida's own large immigrant communities could feel targeted, and she believes political leaders need to avoid stoking division over national incidents. It is 7:35 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. Good morning, PJ.
Good morning. Traffic's brought to you by Florida West EDA. Florida West Economic Development Alliance works to create high-wage jobs and private capital investment that grow Escambia County's tax base. I-10 and 110 are both looking good right now. If you're on US 98 east and westbound through Navarre, that is flowing smooth. Gulf Beach Highway not showing any delays. Still have reports of a traffic light being out Highway 29 at Roberts Road. That is a four-way stop until it's fixed. 29 southbound, seeing some congestion as a result. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be looking at temperatures starting off very cold this morning, but getting around 59 degrees for your high, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 44. As you head into Wednesday, some cloudy skies with a high near 62 degrees. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 38 degrees. As you head into Thursday, going to be staying chilly and breezy through the day. Sunny skies, high near 49. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke, and it's a cold start to our day. 22 degrees right now reported across the area. Our next news at 8 o'clock, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Looking for the best in flooring? At Jonathan's Flooring, you can select beautiful luxury vinyl plank flooring with the texture of wood, waterproof, and longer lasting. Jonathan's Flooring offers the most affordable pricing, first-class workmanship and installation, with a large selection of tile, carpet, or the latest in luxury vinyl plank flooring. Performance and sustainability is what makes Jonathan's Flooring the best choice for your floors. Stop by Jonathan's Flooring on North Palafox, south of 9 Mile Road, or online at jonathansflooring.com.
As a mom, comforting my family is what I do best. Vicks VapoStick provides soothing, non-medicated Vicks Vapors in an easy-to-apply stick. And it dries fast, so there's no mess. I use it to comfort myself and my family.
Thanks, Mom.
Vicks VapoStick. Soothing comfort for the whole family. And try Vicks VapoShower Max for steamy Vicks Vapors when you need more comfort for yourself. Use as directed.
You know what keeps most people up at night?
It's not politics.
It's money. Dave Ramsey helps you take control of it, one decision at a time. Real callers, real situations, and straight talk about getting out of debt, building wealth, and finally telling your money where to go.
Where to go.
Instead of wondering where it went.
Where it went.
Dave Ramsey, weeknights 7 to 10 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Dependable.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Every Tuesday, we check in with Chip Simmons. He is the Escambia County Sheriff, and he is also over in St. John's County outside Jacksonville at the Winter Sheriff's Conference, and he joins us from there by phone. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing great. I got two sheriffs by phone from the same place in the course of 2 days, so it's very exciting for me. I want to get to what you've heard there, what you guys are doing, and I guess you're expecting the governor. What? Was it yesterday or today he's speaking?
No, the governor will be here in about an hour. He'll speak to us before lunch, and then we got Congressman Byron Donalds coming around lunchtime. We heard from the attorney general yesterday. That's part of it. We can network with these state officials.
Okay. Well, I mean, since we're there, let's go ahead and start there. What have you learned? What's been the big topic of conversation? And, you know, did you pick up anything useful from either Congressman Donalds or from General Uthmeyer?
Well, we hadn't heard from Donalds yet. We'll hear Donalds at lunch. But I will. Most of it is how much they support law enforcement. You know, their plans for the future. A lot of stuff we've already heard, but they just reiterate. And then they really just hear available with an opportunity to discuss in smaller groups, select groups, obviously, but because you can't talk to everyone. We have a pretty good turnout. We have 60 sheriffs of the 67 counties, which is pretty strong for a winter conference. A lot of the conversation is surrounding the potential for property tax reform and what that's going to do to law enforcement and to funding of law enforcement operations. So because there's no clarity in one bill or two bills, really, there's not a lot to be said. But we want to make sure that whenever the legislature considers these bills, that they consider public safety and they consider police and fire and they consider, paving streets and all that sort of thing. So you think it's common sense, but a lot of times you have to continue to remind people what's important and what we feel like is important in Escambia County.
Yeah, I mean, as somebody who hates property taxes, hates the idea of them, believes that they're philosophically unjustifiable, I hate the fact that I'm being put in a position to defend property taxes, which my whole life I have hated philosophically, just because what's your alternate revenue stream? You know, if you're going to make it possible to have a sales tax and it's going to be, as Mike Kohler said, 11% to 15%, I mean, I'm certainly open to that. Talk to me. But don't pretend that you can cut all of this money from the budget and do me a favor as a homeowner and not find other revenue, because it will mean lost services. And of course, the question is, will it mean lost services in law enforcement and public safety? That's the big concern, right?
Yeah, that's and again, I'm like everyone else. I'm against property taxes also, but I am more for safe communities, and I am for the services that those funds provide. And the thought that there's enough waste, I'm not convinced of that. Again, I don't have access to everyone's books, and they have not involved me in some of their state conversations. But I would be highly suspect of an individual that says there's so much waste that we can just transfer all that to the essential services. I'm just, as you mentioned, I'm not a fan.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't want to make you name names, but CFO has been saying there's all this money and waste out there. And I'm like, well, hey, where's the report? Because we still don't have it several months after they claimed all of these things. And you were the deputy county administrator for a while over some of the facilities. You can disagree with Escambia County on some things, but there's no chance you're finding 20 or 30% of their budget is just plain waste. I mean, that's just, it's an insane allegation.
And one person's waste is another person's need. I mean,
sure.
It's true. You can find things to cut. Yeah, we just have to be able to make those decisions, and everyone needs to be okay with it once the decisions are made.
Right. Everybody wants more services at lower cost. So good luck in fantasy land. That's just not realistic. Right. Let's talk about some of the incidents that have taken place. A story while I was on vacation was this, or maybe just before, was this person who was impersonating a deputy. Was this in Century on Highway 29? Is that right?
Yeah, it was up in the north end of town early in the morning. A lady reported being stopped by, she described a dark-colored, like, boxy car. I'm envisioning one of our older Ford Crown Victoria-type cars. And she said there was a small blue light in the middle center console. And then what's odd about it is he turned off this light after the traffic stop. And then a slender white male approached her, began asking her about, if she's got drugs in the car and that sort of thing. And then asked to search her purse and I think the back of her truck. And then she started getting suspicious of him, obviously. And then she called us and we're like, we didn't stop you. It was not any agency that we're aware of. And so, obviously, this is concerning. We take this very serious. We have been looking for a car that would fit that description. We have been asking for people that might have information that could let us know if they think someone's, weird enough to try to impersonate a deputy. and because this is a felony, and we will certainly arrest him.
What is, I think for a lot of folks,
a real cop will certainly arrest him.
Right, right. I think for a lot of folks, they hate the fact that there is this person out there who has done this. But I think also what a lot of folks think is, well, how would I know if I got pulled over? Because, you know, not everybody's driving the Tahoe with all the bells and whistles and massive lights and everything else. How do I know for sure that somebody pulling me over isn't either an undercover or an off-duty, somebody who does have the legal authority to do it, but somebody who, you know, help me understand as a citizen. We've talked about it before, but it's good for a reminder. How can I know and what should I do if I'm suspicious?
Well, first of all, if you're suspicious, if it's a plain car, they don't typically have the marked cars with all the lights like we have, but if it's a plain car, and they're acting suspicious, or you don't feel comfortable, just call 911. Put your hazards on, and do not stop. Go to the nearest convenience store, go to a public area, or wait until you get a hold of our 911 dispatcher, and they confirm that that is indeed a law enforcement officer. I say that, but I'll also say this. We don't typically stop cars in unmarked unless there's an immediate need, and even then, we call for a marked unit so they can be with us. And we never turn our lights off during a traffic stop. That's crazy. So there's some things that you can be aware of. In fact, I'm not even a fan of these ghost lettering on the side of police cars that are so popular in law enforcement. We've had the opportunity, and I've chosen not to, because I want my marked cars to be marked and clearly marked. And then if it's an unmarked car, if there's some sort of an undercover operation, then I wouldn't put ghost lettering on those either. So my point is, in Escambia County, you're not going to see ghost lettering on the side of our cars that look like an unmarked car, but they're really a marked car, so there's no confusion there. And if a car stops you, this unmarked car, and you don't feel comfortable, give us a call or call 911, and we'll let you know if that's an appropriate or a real police officer.
I think I remember the answer to this, but I just want to make sure. If somebody is either off duty or out of uniform, are they legally able to pull you over for a traffic stop? And if they are, even if they're legally able to, is it something that your agency practices?
They are legally able to do so, but we discourage our deputies from stopping cars for minor traffic violations in a marked car. What we ask them to do is call a marked car, and then a marked car will come and make that traffic stop for them if they feel that there is a need.
Perfect.
Now, if there is a DUI suspect, or if it's someone we believe is a danger, you've seen some of our pursuits and our unmarked cars do get involved, but that's after our marked cars are already engaged.
Okay. All right. And that helps clarify, I think, for a lot of people, too. We're talking to Sheriff Chip Simmons. He's in St. Johns County this morning at the Sheriff's Winter Conference. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash Mobile Highway at Godwin Lane in Pensacola. The roadway is clear. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Back to Sheriff Simmons. You guys had an incident at Fast Eddie's with graffiti. Is that right?
Yeah, we got a call that a guy was that someone had spray painted and done a lot of damage, really, with the spray paint at Fast Eddie's Fun Center on Michigan Avenue. They also spray painted one of our speed trailers. They spray painted a couple of the traffic signs. So again, as you can imagine, these are, you know, it's going to cost some money to fix these things. We get there and we quickly were able to locate a 19-year-old. His name was Orion Sky Dickinson. And we figured out he was a suspect because he had spray paint cans with him. He also had paint all over his hands and his face. So, you know, that's a clue for us. And we were able to arrest him, charge him with some other resisting and a couple other misdemeanors as well.
All right. Well, good work. I mean, I'm always amazed by people who engage in graffiti. I'm always amazed by even the gang type stuff, because I think you're so powerful that you're going to express your control over this territory at night when nobody's looking in secret. So well done. Yeah. It's just not the most powerful thing that I've ever seen. Hey, one of the good things that you guys are involved in is West Florida High School, the Electrathon racing team. They've basically built a cop car to run on, you know, low power batteries for a long time, right? It's a cool program.
Yeah, it's a cool program. And man, it's a cool looking car too. If you look at it, we're pretty proud of our newer white Tahoes.
Yeah.
Proud of the fact that they're cheaper and we can get them faster and they look pretty sharp. So we're pretty proud of them. And then when the folks at West Florida Tech came to us and they said, hey, can you help sponsor us? And we sponsor with our law enforcement trust fund, which is seized drug money. We sponsor school programs to end up giving kids something to do, right, to keep them off a bad path. And in this particular case, they asked us if we would mind if they made up a car that looked like one of our cars. And we said, sure, because obviously we want to be a good partner. But, man, look at that thing. That thing, I'm looking at pictures now as we're talking, a white car, kind of a space-age-looking car. And it's got everything. It's even got our core values of courtesy, integrity, professionalism on it. Got blue lights on the front and the back. I don't think that you could be confused about this being a police car.
No. It kind of looks like the old, what I remember from the 80s when people were trying to break like the land speed record rocket ships mixed in with one of those two front wheel, one back wheel kind of not quite motorcycle, not quite, four wheelers kind of things. And then obviously very space agey looking with all the lights and everything. It's a very cool thing. I love to see you guys involved in that. One of the other things I had wanted to ask you about, you and I talked before we get on the air, and I didn't mention to you, but I feel free to weigh in or not. The shooting that took place in Minnesota, the most recent one, when I looked at this, and I talked extensively about this yesterday, but I want to give you a chance to weigh in because it's, law enforcement, it matters quite a bit. This looked to me like a not justified shooting. It looked to me like a series of mistakes that all took place, and certainly nobody is in the wrong for simply carrying a weapon to a public protest of any sort. That's a normal concealed carry behavior. There's been a lot of things said false about this, but I wanted to give you a chance to weigh in. However you want to weigh in, you're my law enforcement expert. So any thoughts? And feel free not to comment. I mean, it's perfectly within your power not to comment.
Yeah, a lot of people have been asking us our opinions, and that's obviously been a topic here at the Sheriff's Conference. I will tell you that what we typically do is we're not blind to the videos. We look at the videos. That's the first thing we do. If we were to investigate, if this was my agency, and then we go a little deeper because it doesn't always tell us the whole story. We go a little bit before, during, and then certainly after as well. I did not see, in the videos that I saw, and maybe I'm not privy to every video, but I did not see this individual pull a weapon. I would have some concerns if this happened in our jurisdiction. Concerns from the initial contact. I would have concerns from the number of people that tried to pile on to him. I mean, I don't know that there's a need to have more than two. At most, three people on one individual. No one's taking charge. And then you've got the situation where it appears as if one of the agents actually took the gun or was in possession of the gun just before the shots were fired. Again, these are things that if this happened in our jurisdiction, we would certainly take into consideration. And if it were us, then everyone involved would be on administrative leave.
Yeah.
And then we would work with the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, and then we would work with the state attorney's office. We've had some officer-involved shootings in the past, and we've been pretty open about and a lot of times we put the video out. This is what we're working with right here. And you get a sense initially whether it is an openly good shoot or something that really needs some further investigation. And I think in this case, it will certainly need further investigation.
And at the very least, and just because it's such an easy question to answer, in my opinion, somebody concealed carrying or in Florida open carrying at or near a political rally is committing no crime whatsoever as long as they're not in some prohibited sensitive space like a bar or a school. Or a government activity, something like, the fact that you're around police and happen to be carrying is completely legal until you draw it, brandish it, threaten, use it, something like that, right?
We've had numerous conversations with my deputies, and we have let them know that my stance is that we support the carrying of firearms concealed, and we can support the Constitution, which allows for open carry in the state of Florida and certainly in Escambia County. And so I say that because I would expect that our deputies would encounter people that are constitutionally carrying or carrying within their right to do so. And so, yes, the answer to your question is it is okay to carry your weapon. Again, we're talking about Minnesota law versus Florida law, and I'm not sure what their laws are, their specific laws are. I can simply tell you what my expectations are in Escambia County, and my expectations are for our deputies in the county, people that are lawfully carrying a firearm pursuant to the Constitution.
Absolutely. Amen. And I know that's why I wanted to ask you about it as well. Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, thank you so much for keeping us safe, keeping us informed. Also, I did get a text in. Somebody said that he was really grateful for your policy of clear and verifiable law enforcement officer identity, good work doesn't need anonymity except for undercover operations, obviously. And so he appreciated you being clear about, you know, marked cars. Even the ghost markings are a little bit, you know, questionable. And I had that same exact opinion. So thank you so much for that policy. And we look forward to hearing from you next week. Thanks for the time. Be safe on your drive back in the cold.
You bet. Y'all take care.
All right. 753 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. of the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Darren Schaefer, CEO of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community.
We'll have a look at all the fun things to do in Pensacola in the new year, including Pensacola Mardi Gras, SBC basketball, and so much more.
Friday at 9, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Saturday, enjoy Mardi Gras in Milton with the 8th annual Crew of Airship Pirates Mardi Gras Parade. The beads start to fly at 3 o'clock. The 5th annual Pas de Gras event will be Sunday from 11 till 4 on the closed-down Garden Street between Tarragona and Palafox. Enjoy the parade, costume contest, vendors, and fun. Find out more at visitpensacola.com. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
You don't want rumors.
You want confirmation.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
You want confirmation.
Informative, local, dependable.
Now, say my name.
Don't move, don't talk, out of time, don't think, don't worry, everything's just fine. Just fine.
I will tell you, going back and sort of encountering for the first time a lot of U2's intermediate music, not their early music, but some of their intermediate stuff, it's fantastic. Ah. Such good songwriting in addition to great musicianship. I mean, just, you know, I love U2 more now than I have ever liked them before, and I liked them a lot before. Let's see. PJ's got traffic on the 5, sitting in for John Pickens all this week.
Still working that vehicle crash, Mobile Highway at Godwin Lane in Pensacola. The roadway is clear. I'm PJ with your traffic on the 5s. Back to you.
Thanks so much, PJ. If you need that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has a great selection of good quality used cars. Cars that are a year, two, three, maybe 4 years young. Low miles. You'll be the second, maybe the third owner. Cars that they warranty everything to 100,000 miles or 10 years. You know, so they're going to take, that's no extra cost. That's included. They give you a Carfax. They'll walk you through the pricing. When you get down to the end bottom line price, that's the only thing you ever talk about. There's no like negotiating. And then afterwards they add stuff in. That doesn't happen that way. They'll even take care of you if you try to buy a car from somebody else. Like they don't give you a Carfax from, you know, Jim on Facebook or whatever. They'll run you a Carfax. Just give them a VIN. They'll run a Carfax for you. No problem. And I do recommend that a Carfax is a good start. It is not the end-all, be-all of used car conditions. I recommend strongly if you're buying from somebody else to go get a used vehicle inspection. It's worth the money. You will find things. Either you don't find things and it's worth the peace of mind, or you will find things and it was worth spending it instead of buying the car. But in either case, that's a good thing. But at Frontier, they take care of you. They want you to come back again and again and again and again. That's the way they do their business. They're not trying to, you know, get you for one time. They want to get you for all the 15 times or 10 times you buy cars for the rest of your life. And it shows in how they do everything. Frontier Motors serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. A massive winter storm continues leaving its mark around the nation. About 36 deaths have been blamed on the system, with ice, snow, and freezing rain knocking out power to hundreds of thousands of homes and businesses across the South. Meanwhile, social media companies headed to court. A big trial beginning today in Los Angeles targeting platforms like TikTok, YouTube, and Meta. About 1,600 plaintiffs, including entire school districts, accuse those companies of designing products that harm children and fuel addiction. And Andrew today brings an update to the doomsday clock, the symbolic measure of how close humanity is to self-destruction.
Wait, 11:59 p.m. and 52 seconds.
It currently sits at 89 seconds to midnight.
So it's 11:58 and 31 seconds.
Yeah, that sounds right.
89 seconds to midnight. That's, sounds like a Charles Bronson movie. Not exactly. It's close. Not exactly. All right. Oh, David, I do have a question for you, though.
Sure.
You were talking about this big storm, right?
And big storm.
All the snow and all the ice.
Ice. Yeah. Lots of ice.
Why aren't there more protests?
Well,
with all the ice.
That's a good question. There really there should just be protests everywhere, all across the South.
I ran that joke past my wife, and she said, "Don't do it."
She said, "I mean, sounds like a good wife."
Well, I mean, especially here in Pensacola, because we're talking about building a whole second ice sheet at the Bay Center. We have one, and they're talking about doubling the presence of ice in Pensacola. And I haven't heard a single word out of the socialists.
Yeah, we're going to have to blame the protests on you when they happen now. Yeah.
Well, Andrew, are you so dumb you think that's the same kind of ice? Yeah, that's me. I'm that dumb. Thank you. Seriously, I tried this joke like two different ways, and she didn't support
it. And this is where you landed.
That's exactly right. All right, hey, I have tickets to give away to the Senior Bowl. Caller number 3 right
Listen
now.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
The First Lady wants Americans to unite. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.